someone wants to be baptized or anything like that, if it's midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning or whenever it is, feel free to call. Sometimes I don't look as great at 1 o'clock in the morning as I do at other times, and I don't look too great anytime. But we are here to serve you and to help you in any way, and I hope as many of you as will stay tonight after the service and be able to meet some of our folks here and to know each other in a better way. I look forward to Tuesday. I have the privilege of speaking in chapel at Fried Hardeman Tuesday, and I look forward to that. Tonight, I want you to leave after the service is over remembering four words. Two of these words tend to be words that you and I emphasize, and the other two may very well be the words that God would emphasize. We begin with the word ability. We throw that word around a great deal. We realize that it is an important word. Each one of us who is here tonight has some ability or some abilities. We do not have the same abilities. Oh, we may share in some of them, but very probably there are no two people here tonight who would have exactly the same list of abilities to the same degree that the other one has. But the word ability is an important word. That word has been involved in preparation for you to come to school. It is involved in preparation for even our younger ones to go to school tomorrow, and for those of us that are a bit older to go to our jobs. The word ability is an important word. It means to be sufficient or efficient. It carries with it the idea of having sufficient power, sufficient skill, or sufficient resources in order to accomplish something. I hope you noticed, as the scripture reading was read a few minutes ago, that in the story of the talents, where one was given five, one was given two, and another was given one, that the scripture says that each one was given talents according to his ability. The man who was dishing out these talents realized that one man had more ability in at least this area than another man, and than the other man. At least he thought it appropriate to give one of them five, one of them two, and one of them one. But he gave them out according to each man's ability. The talents that were given had to do with money, and the end result had to do with the investment or the use of that. But we have let this story come to mean more than that to us, to at least in principle represent the idea of our abilities to do things. And there may be one with five, there may be one with two, there may be one with one. Back in the Old Testament, in the first chapter of Daniel, as the king sent out to bring in young men to serve, he says, "Children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace." This, of course, resulted in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being chosen, perhaps with many others, and then you know the rest of the story with them. But he said, we want somebody who has some ability. In 1 Peter, the 4th chapter and verse 11, first part of it being very familiar, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. As of the ability which God giveth. Ephesians 4:16 talks about every joint in the church supplying according to the measure that that person has. And Romans 12, verse 3 talks about the measure of faith that God has given. We are born, we are made, we are brought into existence with certain abilities. And again, I emphasize that they're not always the same. In Galatians 6, 4, and 5, let a man prove his own work. And then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. In 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12, if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Each one of us has abilities, and those abilities are important. When people start looking for someone to fill a job, they're going to consider ability. When someone is looking for a person to be on the basketball team or the baseball team, he's concerned, and rightly so, about ability. And so we need to understand that concept of ability. But there is another word that really is, with a little bit added to this word, that makes a very different concept, and that is the word inability. Inabilities. And what is suggested there is that there may be some limitations. And here again, every one of us who is here tonight has some inabilities. I know that we tend to think sometimes we can do everything or anything. We have a 5-year-old grandson that's just started to kindergarten. And I told Judy the other day that the school system there should be able to lay off one teacher, because James knows everything. And he should be able to handle the class without any help. Sometimes he thinks he does. And the sad thing about that is that many of us never outgrow that attitude. We think that we know everything. I never will forget back several years ago, and I've shared this story with some of you before, when I was doing my student teaching in algebra at Cookeville Central High School. I was in school at Tennessee Tech. There was one young man in the class who told me one day that he and his brother together knew everything. I immediately knew that his brother was a math whiz. He thought he knew everything, but he really had some inability when it came to working math problems. I think the highest he ever made on any test I gave was 28. And that was on the scale of 100. But his biggest inability was his inability to recognize his inabilities. And that's a problem with us sometimes. Romans 12:3 talked about the measure of faith, but it also said just before that, that a person ought not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. How many of us are guilty of that? Perhaps all of us at one time or another. Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 12:7. I have no idea what that thorn was. One of the things that's speculated is that he had poor eyesight, because he said, I write to you in large letters. There are several of us who can identify with that, whether or not that was his thorn in the flesh. We can identify with not having the ability to see as clearly as some people do. Some of you that are here recognize how difficult it is not to be able to hear as well as someone else hears. Someone was just telling me this morning about the fellow that said, I just bought the most expensive hearing aid that exists. And his friend said, what kind is it? And he said, about 130. Well, all of us have our inabilities. There are some things that I cannot do. I wish many times that I could repair a motor on a car like some of you can, or at least determine what's wrong with it. I just don't have the ability to do that. I have no idea where to begin. I wish I had the ability to read music and to lead singing like Caleb has tonight. I don't have that ability. There have been a few times when I was in certain places in gospel meetings, I had to lead singing and lead the prayer and read the scripture and do the preaching and everything else. And if nobody is there, I can lead singing well enough to get by. But I don't have that ability. The one talent man did not have the abilities of the 5-talent man nor the 2-talent man. He had some inabilities. He was lacking in some of these areas. Perhaps no fault on his own, and many of the inabilities that we have, folks, are not our fault. It's not my fault that I'm not able to do certain things as well as someone else is. It's not your fault that you are not capable, that you don't have the skill in this area to accomplish something. There are some things that I don't believe I will ever be able to read music. I don't think if I studied on it every day, maybe I might, but I just don't believe, I think there's an inability there. And folks, we need to learn to accept our inabilities as well as to accept our abilities. And we also need to learn to accept the inabilities of others. We have a tendency to judge one another by our own standards. What we think is an ability or an inability, we need to learn to put this in focus, to realize that abilities are important, and if we have ability and don't use it, that's a problem, but also to recognize our inabilities. It is just as important, especially for preachers, to know what they don't know as to know what they know. Abilities, inabilities. The third word is the word responsibility. And here we begin to get into those areas where God, I think, places the emphasis. I don't believe God places as much emphasis upon whether or not you are a 5-2 or one talent person as whether or not you accept the responsibility to accept your inabilities and to use your abilities. Responsibility is the key word, at least one of them. Accepting responsibility for assignments that are given is important. Accepting responsibility to carry out our vows and our promises is extremely important, so important that God in Ephesians 5 called a person who would not accept the responsibility to carry out his vows a fool. Responsibility. Romans 14:12 says each one of us will stand before the judgment and give an account for himself. And there's where responsibility comes in. 2 Corinthians 5:10 talks about receiving the things that are done in the body according to what one has done. Responsibility accepted. Philippians 1:6, Paul said, I'm persuaded that God, who hath begun this work in you, will continue it. And in saying that, and especially in other comments in this book, he was saying, I believe that you folks at Philippi will accept your responsibilities. In 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, where he was talking about the financial support of the Lord's work and talking about what others had done, he said they were ready a year ago and said you were ready a year ago. He says, now perform it. Do the job. One of the best speakers that we have had at the advisory dinner program, in my opinion, down through the last several years, was Marilyn Olson. Played with the fearsome foursome of the Los Angeles Rams. Was on television on the Little House on the Prairie and was it Father Flanagan, two or three of those programs. And he worked especially with Michael Landon. I don't remember very many things that Marilyn Olson said that night, but I remember one thing. I don't think I'll ever forget it. He was talking about his relationship with Michael Landon, who was the producer of these programs, and he said the attitude that Mr. Landon always had was expressed to us this way: I don't care what you do, except when your face is on the screen. And when your face is on the screen, I expect you to perform. I wonder if God doesn't look at us in a sense today and say, when your face is on the screen, I expect you to perform. You see, if one of the 11 on the football team does not accept his responsibility seriously, the play probably won't work. How many programs have we had in the church that were outlined on paper and looked like a tremendous thing that never got off that paper because people did not carry out their responsibilities. The church is suffering today many times because people who are responsible for certain things do not accept their responsibility and do not carry out their responsibilities. It's not so much ability and inability as it is responsibility. And then there is another word that I believe God emphasizes, and that's the word availability. Who will go? Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." Isaiah was saying, in a sense, "I'm available. If you need me, I'm here." The priest and the Levite in the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10 were not very available, but the Good Samaritan was. I'm sure that when he started out on his trip that day, he did not really think about the fact that he would be helping a stranger a short time later, but he was ready. He was available. You and I are familiar with that great passage, the power of the gospel, Romans 1:16, but sometimes we may overlook what Paul said just before that. He said, "I am ready to preach the gospel to you also." He said, "I am available. If I get the opportunity, I am available. I am ready." Many of the actions of parents, particularly of mothers, can be described with the word availability. There may not be something that needs to be done this moment, especially if a child is sick. The child may be resting at this moment, but mama is there and she's available. And one of the greatest needs that we have, let me say as I pass this point, in our nation today is to have more mothers that are available. When their children come home and when their children call and when their children need them. Dads and mothers both, but especially mothers. And what we really need more than anything else in the work of the church at any level and any type of work is to have people who are available, who will say to the elders, "If you need me, I'm here," and then when asked, be there. Be available to accept the responsibility, to use whatever abilities you have in the Lord's service. Being available is so important. We made reference a moment ago to 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 where Paul was talking about those that were supporting the work, planned it a year ago. Now he says, perform. Verse 19, ready mind. Chapter 9, verse 2, ready a year ago. Verse 3, you may be ready. Verse 5, same might be ready. Ready, ready, ready. That's the key to winning the battle in a war, is to be ready. Maybe nothing happens for several hours, but when it does, you've got to be ready. What was the problem with the five foolish virgins? They weren't ready. They weren't available to do what needed to be done, to go where they needed to go when the Lord returned. Availability is so important. Yes, I think we have a tendency to emphasize ability and inability. And those are important. But I really believe that God emphasizes responsibility and availability. Let's take our abilities. Let's accept our inabilities. Let's assume the responsibility. And let's be ready with availability to do whatever needs to be done in the Lord's work. Tonight, God wants each of us to accept responsibility when it comes to obedience. And He has not asked anything to be done, but that all of us have the ability to do it. Believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the remission of sins. We have the ability to do that, and God wants us to accept the responsibility. And let me assure you, that with him there is the availability to accept you and to forgive you when you're willing to accept your responsibility. Tonight, if you're not a faithful Christian, please accept your responsibility, because God is available and encourages you to come as together we stand and sing.